I'd like for us to turn this morning into a little book in the Bible, in the New the Old Testament. It's between the two Z's. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And so, if you know the books of the Bible, it is Haggai. And there this morning, we want to discuss about the church. And you say, well, what can we find out this morning about the church in this little insignificant book way back there in what we call the Minor Prophets? Now, man has called them the Minor Prophets. God hasn't called them the Minor Prophets. But we can learn from the situation that was in this book. We can learn that the people were to go back to the land, and when they came back, they found the houses were in ruin, and grass had grown where the houses were. The temple had laid in ruins, and they come back, and when they saw something like this, then there was depression, and they were discouraged. And despite the odds, the people set their hearts to rebuilding that which had been destroyed. And the thing that we want to see in this book of Haggai, the people had the work to come to a standstill because of the political adversity that was brought up upon them. And they were discouraged, and they become apathetic, and they didn't know just where their spiritual priorities should be. So the Lord tells them in chapter 2, if you look there, chapter 2 and verse 5, and this is something that we need to realize when we are discouraged and when we have depression, and I think those are the two greatest enemies that the church has. When we see here in verse 5 of chapter 2, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Now you keep that in mind this morning as we look into the scriptures and see these two strong opponents, these two opponents that affect every one of you in here, every one of us in here. We are susceptible to this if we do not listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to hear. Now, if you look and turn with me into Philippians chapter 4, and there we will look at a couple of verses, but the first one at which we will look will be Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Now, it says in that verse, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Now there you have a verse that starts with rejoice and it ends with rejoice. And no matter what we would have in between those two rejoices, what do we have in the beginning? What does it say? And what do we have after all things have happened? Rejoice. Now, that's what the Lord has for you and for me. And then if you will look in verse 11, and this is something that we enable for us to be able to put in the middle between these two rejoices, the things that we need to put, then we must learn this. You must learn this. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Now listen, my friend. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You will never be able to enjoy the Word, the living Word of the Lord Jesus Christ until you realize that. No matter what situation in which you may find yourself, unless you have been able to learn that you are content in whatever state you may find yourself, you will never have the fruit of the Spirit, which the second part is what? First is love, and the second is what? Joy. You'll never be able to have the joy. You'll not have the fruit of the Spirit if you do not listen to what He is saying. Depression, discouragement. This is something that plays havoc. These two enemies play havoc with each and every person if they get the chance. And they're working overtime at this moment. But this is a time of the year when you and I should be sowing, we should be watering, we should be laboring, we should be reaping. This is the time of the year that we commemorate a Thanksgiving. But you and I, my friend, have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to whom we should always give thanks and to whom we should always be glad. You see, we hear this today. Oh, I wish I would have lived back then. Let me tell you, this is the greatest time in which anybody could live. The opportunity is right now. The opportunity is here for you and for me to be a Christian witness. But, you know, sometimes we can cause people to be discouraged by the witness that we try to make. Oftentimes we make a witness that is not what God would have us to make. It's the story of the barber who had written on his ceiling, "Where will you spend eternity?" One day a man came in and he said he wanted to shave, and so he laid him back in that chair, and he got that razor out, and the man looked up there and saw, "Where will you spend eternity?" And the guy said, with that razor in his hand, "Are you prepared to meet God?" That guy went out of there, and they've never seen him since. And you see, that wasn't the right kind of encouragement. And then you have the story of the young man who was walking down the street behind a good-looking young lady, and she walked a little faster, and he walked a little faster. And it came to a shady part of the town, and she walked faster, and he walked faster. And she ran, and he ran. And she got to the door, and she was just about to go crazy to get the keys out of her pocket to get into the door. And the man handed her a tract. And he said, "There, another soul has been informed of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, that's the way that we do it. That isn't the way that God would have us to do these things. We're not, and you know, you could go visit someone in the hospital. And you visit someone in the hospital and you say, "You don't look very good. And I know someone who had the very same disease and he's dead." You see, that isn't encouragement. That isn't what the Lord would have us to do. And there's a story told about this Texan who was trying to comfort a wife of a person who got shot, and he said, "It's too bad that it happened in Texas." You see, these are not ways to be comforted. We need to have wisdom of God. We need to have the wisdom of the Almighty to know how this to do. But when we should be buckling up, and it takes buckling up, and put on the armor, and we're told to put on the armor. And if we don't put on the armor, then we're going to have problems. But we need to be buckling up for the fray, and when the sower and the reaper should be girding up their loins in preparation for the laboring that is necessary, when we should be doing that out in God's great field to tell the people of this world that there is a Savior that wants to save them. But those two, depression and discouragement, they come up on the scene. And they're paralyzing God's servants. And they're causing hands to hang down and knees to be feeble. This is what they're causing. If you would turn to Psalm 46 and 1, there you would see God is our refuge. Listen to that. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in when? Trouble. God, when these depression and discouragement comes upon us, God is a very present help, and He's a present help when we need Him. Do you believe that? Is it truth or isn't it? When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, did Paul say, "And I know whom I have believed, as we have sung in the song, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day"? When Paul said, "I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith," he was ready to be have his head chopped off on Nero's chopping block, but he was not discouraged, and he was not in depression. Now this is a bad, bad thing today. And I know that there are times, and God bless you if this is the case with you, but sometimes you go to the doctor for one thing, and he or she will give you medicine, and that medicine will cause you to be in depression. But that is not the thing about which I'm speaking. That is not the norm. That happens once in a while. I'm speaking about the norm of in your life and in my life. And what are some of the things that cause you and cause me to have depression take over? Well, we can say, my family is real good health. See, that's a big smile. There's no problems in my family. But if sickness comes in your family, oh my, you just don't know. We're in all kinds of difficulties. Depression is setting in. We're not listening to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You say, I can't rejoice like that. The man who wrote that did. And it's written by the inspiration of God. Rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. And then we come about with the family. And, oh, everything is just hunky-dory. And we're in good. Oh, my husband is so good to me. And my wife is so good to me. I can't help but rejoice. But then problems come. Problems come. And we let depression take over. And depression can ruin a home. Discouragement can ruin a home. Husbands, you're told to love your wife. That's a command from God. You're told to love her. You're told to love her. And you see, we need to realize that discouragement can come about because we don't listen to what God wants us to hear. We just listen to what we want to hear. You don't know the things I'm going through. God says, I know you. John chapter 2 and verse 25 says he knows what's in you. He knows your problem. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he doesn't care for you. You just go ahead and do it. And that's what we think, isn't it? But he says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, there's a couple of verses of scripture in this Bible. Well, there's lots of verses in the scriptures in this Bible. And I'd like for you to turn to this morning. I didn't have this planned, but in Isaiah chapter 41, if you have any kind of problems, if you have any kind of difficulties, you just turn there and you read these. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 and also verse 13. Now listen to what this is saying. And I know it's to Israel, but this is a pattern for you, and they were written for our examples and for our admonition. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness. Now look at verse 13. Fear not thou worm. Excuse me. Verse 13. I was reading 14. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Now if you'll notice there, before he says, I will help thee, what did he do? He took hold of the right hand. See, God has a hold of you. If you read in Romans chapter 8, you'll find out that nothing can separate you from that. God has a hold of you. And then we get into finances. And I can relate to this. I was in that business for a long time. And as long as finances are all right, no problem. But you just let a little bit of adversity come, and then there's all kinds of discouragement, all kinds of disappointment. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, and you be honest, because I know about which I am speaking. Who got you into the financial mess? Who got you into the marital mess? Some of you couldn't wait to be married to the boy that you knew that you could change and save after you got married. God said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We cause these things. We don't listen to God. We don't listen to what He wants for us. And then church life. Oh, everything's going good. The boy, when it isn't going good. He's a scoundrel. She's a scoundrel. I'm so discouraged. The Bible says that I'm not to love Billy Brunson. The Bible tells me to kick John Wendler. The Bible tells me that Robert Floyd's no good. Is that what it says? The Lord Jesus Christ says, and this is a new commandment that I give you, that you hate one another. Is that what he said? Why do we have discouragement? Because we don't listen to him. And let me tell you this, you cannot be discouraged if you are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ the way that you should be. You can't be. Now you say, I can be. You're denying the Word of God if you think that you can be. And then entertainment. You say, oh, my team lost. Well, let me tell you this. If you picked the right team, West Virginia, you wouldn't have lost. You see? But you see, my team lost, and I'm in such a dither. And we put so much importance on that. Now, I know I get excited when they play, but that's not the end of the world if they would have lost yesterday. Been almost, but it wasn't quite. But we put too much importance on those things, and we get discouraged and downhearted for the things of this world when our citizenship is where?
in heaven.
Our citizenship is there. Is there any discouragement there? No. We read in the book of the Revelation where they're going to be praising Him, and they are praising Him when John saw, "Holy, holy, holy." There's no discouragement there. And then we have these problems. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Thanks be to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who has comforted us in all our tribulations." Now listen, "that we may be able to comfort them that are in any kind of trouble with the comfort wherewith we are comforted of God." Did you hear that? And it says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, "And we are persuaded," listen, "that things that He has promised, He was able also to perform." And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, and it says, "And now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that we ask or think, by the power which is wrought in us." The power that is where? Wrought in us. Do we understand? Oh, how we need to realize the power that we have in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." We need to realize on whom we should be depending. We're depending on things. We're depending on our health. We're depending on our family. We're depending on our finances. We're depending on sports or entertainment. We're depending on those for our satisfaction. And they will not bring satisfaction without the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can have all these things in Him. Did you ever think to turn to Psalm chapter 42 and verse 5 when it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Maybe you ought to turn there and underline that in your Bible. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? O my soul, why? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." The precious promises that God gives to you and to me. Why are you cast down? Is it because maybe you've looked in Matthew's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 26 where it says, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Yes. If you're unsaved, my friend, you should be discouraged. But you can be encouraged because Christ is pricking at your heart and He's saying, "I want to save you, I want to save you, I want to save you." And I think it's a misnomer, according to Scriptures, for people to say, "I found the Lord." My friend, you weren't looking for Him because it says the place is enmity with God. The Lord found you. That's what the Bible teaches. And there's so many things. And you know, we sang in the Lord's Supper this morning, and glorified I too shall be. The Bible says we're glorified right now. Sometimes, you know, people just don't make them according to Scripture. Those He justified, them He will also glorify. We're glorified with Him. We're complete in Him. And we need to realize that these things that are casting us down. And maybe it's you haven't really thought of John 5:24. "Oh, my friend, if you're saved or if you're unsaved." That's a precious verse of Scripture which says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," listen to that, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life." You're passed right now. Why should we be discouraged when we have everything in the Lord Jesus Christ? We are complete in Him. And maybe Luke 9:23 has something to do with a lot of you. Maybe you don't like that verse of Scripture, which says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," how often? "Daily, and follow me." If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and really eat of Him, as Rudy brought out, one of the times I heard him preach, there were those that when he said, "Eat of me," they departed and went back. We need to eat of Him to know who He is. And to be able to relate to ourselves, not to each other, first to ourselves, just who we are. Who am I? I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. that could cause us to rejoice, irregardless of the situation. I love my wife. I love her more than any person in this world. But if I lose my wife, I can't be discouraged because I know she's gone home to be with heaven, with the Lord in heaven. He needed her more than I do. Now, the Lord and I might have a conference about that. But, you know, he needed her more than I do. And I should rejoice. She's beat me home. She's safe at home. We need to understand this. Lord, how could you take my wife? Lord, how could you give me cancer? I want to tell you something. I thank the Lord for giving me cancer. Now, you may not be able to do that until you get it, but when you get it, He'll give you the grace to do it if you want to. You don't need dying grace right now, but when you're dying, He'll give it to you. My grace is sufficient. The Lord is sufficient for each and every one of us. So there are sufficient causes for both of these rascals about which we're speaking. Number one is vice, and that just means immoral or evil habits. Immoral or evil habits. Let me ask you, are you willing to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and take that chapter and go down it and listen to what it says and do what it says? You see, you are responsible. It says sex. You do it. You turn there to Colossians chapter 3 and take that and read it and say, why am I having these problems? Because I'm not setting my affection on things that are where? In heaven. I have my affections on things that are here on the earth, and everything that's here on the earth is going to pass away. Everything is going to become dead, and it's going to pass away. And then we have deadness. That means we have no activity. When we start feeling sorry for ourselves, that's the time that we want to sit on our haunches and do nothing, isn't it? Isn't that right? Where there's deadness and this old discouragement takes hold. My friend, if I can do nothing more, and if this were the last sermon that I preach, I want to get you into the place where you can say, Satan, get thee behind me. And when Satan gets behind you, you are on the road of defeating discouragement and disappointment and depression. If you look at the thing that I put in the bulletin, disappointment, and you just change one letter and it's his appointment. Just put an H where the D is. His appointment is what we need. We need to listen to the gracious word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's fruitlessness. And that means we haven't been cultivating. You know, the reason this place isn't full this morning is because we have not been cultivating. I don't want to put any of you on the spot by raising your hand, but I put in the monthly calendar this time, every day, right down at the bottom, visit someone. Did you? I didn't have time. Oh, did you? When that one, like Billy was speaking about, and Billy knows that. And when Billy knows it, he has a responsibility to go see that man, that young boy. He has a responsibility. If you know someone that is in that problem or in a situation and you're physically able, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. Because if he or she is lost, you should want to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they're saved, they're your brother and you're supposed to be loving. Oh, my friend, the fruitlessness that we have today, the trees are there, but they're not bearing fruit. Because we are disappointed, we are discouraged, and we say it's of no value, it's of no use. Don't bring your children up that way, you young parents that are in here. Bring them up with the knowledge that as soon as they get saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, they have everything. Now, I'm not talking about this world's everything, but they have everything because they have eternal life, and they have the person of the Lord Jesus Christ living in them. And then we get apathy. That means that we lack a feeling. We don't have the feeling for people. If someone has like I said, with a person that visited in the hospital, we have no feeling. I know someone that had that disease and he died. That's not feeling for that person. The person likes to be related to, like the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus never did that. When the woman was taken in adultery, he didn't hammer her down. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And the Lord Jesus looked for the man at the pool of Bethesda. He looked for him. He says, I have no man. The Lord Jesus was that man. He wants you and he wants me to be that man. When Zacchaeus needed to be saved, the Lord Jesus had to go through Jericho. He must needs go through Jericho. And he's looking. He's looking for people to be saved. And you and I are the instruments. But if we're going to sit home on our haunches and feel sorry for ourselves, we need to do praying. If you have a problem, take it to the Lord. We sing that song, take it to the Lord in prayer. And oh, we sing it with great gusto. But we need to do this and take it to the Lord in prayer. And then we have indifferences concerning those that are perishing. It's not my problem. Yes, it is. The Lord Jesus Christ says, after that you receive power, you go and you preach the gospel. You go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go ye teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I might be with you if you behave yourself. Is that what he said? That's where discouragement comes in. We don't listen to what he says. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And aren't you glad where he says in John's Gospel, John said, the Lord Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved us to the end. And so there's been a steady decline in attending of meetings. Oh, I used to go, but it doesn't seem like that Mary loves me anymore or June cares about me. You didn't come to the meeting for Mary or June. You came because the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And if you came to the right attitude, you and Mary will love each other and you and June will love each other. We won't have this discouragement. Discouragement and depression and disappointment, if it is not for the medical reason that I've mentioned, it is our own fault. According to the Word of God. And we feel our spirits and our hearts are drooping. We just are tempted just to hang it up. Let's just call it quits and put our sword away. But it was so in the days of Haggai, as I mentioned. The temple is just not what it once used to be. Oh, well, I've heard that since I've come here and that hurts me. This place is just not what it once used to be. Well, let's say amen. Let's make it what God wants it to be. I didn't hear any amens on that. Let's make it what God wants it to be. There, I hear some amens on that. It doesn't matter what it used to be. That's past. We're looking to the future. We're looking when God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's put our hearts and our love and our effort and our strength into the things of the Lord. These people had returned with zeal when they came back to the land. But political intervention had stopped the rebuilding of the temple. And you need to read this little book and realize what Cyrus had said. And then Darius carried out what Cyrus had decreed. And when they came back and they built the temple, oh, it's not as glorious as it once was. And you see, that was their thoughts. But it needs to be what God wants in that day. And God will make it glorious for us in everything. And so they had lost the enthusiasm of their first return. And people come back to the assembly. Oh, I feel good. And then the preacher gets on them about discouragement or depression, and I don't want to hear any more of that. You see, who's getting after you? It's not the preacher. It's Satan getting after you. It's yourself letting those things take hold. Oh, I'm in such misery. I'm in such discouragement. But you see, their enthusiasm had died away in the face of prolonged difficulties. What's the use? If Christ is at the head, and he is, he's the head of the church, he should be the head of this local assembly. Now listen to what I said. He's the head of the church and should be the head of this local assembly. Then we should be following him. But we can thank God for Zerubbabel and Joshua mentioned there in the book of Haggai. They had kept their own zeal alive. And depression and discouragement had paralyzed all godly effort, and the word had ceased. Turn back there to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. And it says, I might be able to do some things through Christ who possibly helps me. Now, is that what it's saying? But is that how we act? Now, is it? I can do how many things? All things through Christ. You have to put that in there. Which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. I can do all things. Of course, Paul said, I love the communication that you had, but notwithstanding that, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Oh, my Christian friend, we need to listen to the Lord. We need to listen to His Word. Faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The people of God back then and the people today, the people at Florence Bible Chapel, that's the ones to whom I'm speaking. I'm not speaking to anybody else if they were here or if we were on television. But I say that we need a tonic. And that tonic is the Lord. And the Lord gave that tonic to Haggai. Let's turn back there again. And look at this tonic that He gave to them. The Lord said, fear ye not. And they said, what? Fear ye not? How can we help but fear? The Lord gave two antidotes. And those antidotes, let's look here in chapter 2 and verse 5. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. His promise to these people was, my spirit remaineth among you. Now, how much more do you and I have that? His Spirit remains in us. His Spirit remaineth among you. This is indeed a great source of cheer and strength. And Moses said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. That's what we need today. And we need to be able to come over to the Lord's side. And these two that came over to the Lord's side with Moses, they slew many people that day. And they weren't discouraged because they were doing the Lord's work. We need a lot of enemies that we need to slay. And we need to spiritually slay a lot of enemies. And we need to be strong. Be strong. But how can the feeble be strong? And what is strength? What purpose is strength? Can you answer me that? To work. There's no other purpose for strength than to work. Than to do something. It's no use to have strength if it isn't going to be used. And God is our strength. He's the foundation of strength. The presence of the Lord's Spirit. The presence of the Lord's Spirit. And He certainly says in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and what? He shall bring it to pass. If you never remember any other verse of Scripture this morning but that, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He might, is that what it says? He shall bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. So are we despondent this morning? Remember, my spirit remaineth among you. Fear not. And then we say, oh, the Lord just doesn't know. We get back to discouragement again. We get back to disappointment again. We get back to depression again. The Lord just doesn't know. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 5 where it says, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified that Jesus was the Christ. That Jesus was Christ. I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians for just a moment. Our time's going fast, but we're going to stay till I finish this. Or I am anyhow. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. Now listen. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, and we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now go over to chapter 2 and verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come, I should have sorrow among them of whom I ought to rejoice. having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. And then chapter 4, look at verse 13 in chapter 2. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus my brother. He was looking for him, and he wanted to see him, and he had no rest there. In chapter 4, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Chapter 6, verse 10. As sorrowful, yet rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Chapter 7, verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul was alone in a strange city and no money, and he was not well, and he was overworked, and he was persecuted, and failure seemed to doom his steps. But he cast all his care upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not allow the mood to silence his voice in the Christian testimony that God had given to him and paralyze the Christian effort. Oh, my friend, what if the Apostle Paul would have had that attitude? We wouldn't have those 14 wonderful books that he had written today. For he testified boldly of his master. I'm not ashamed, he says in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why are you discouraged? Why are you disappointed? Because are you ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are you really ashamed to be a witness for him? Are you mourning over some besetting sin that you have? Oh, you're getting too close home now, preacher. You're meddling. But do you have some besetting sin that's causing you to be discouraged and causing you to have disappointment and causing you to be depressed? Are you smarting under some sense of failure and shortcoming? I'm just not able. Well, perhaps you're trying to do somebody else's work and God's given you a gift and you don't want to use it. Do you ever stop to think of that? And that can cause discouragement. And you feel it's no use to try to live the Christian life any longer. And I want to ask you, who in the world told you you could live it in the first place? And that's another misnomer today, where you hear good preachers supposedly say, live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life. You let the Holy Spirit live that life through you. You can't do that. We must realize what the Bible is saying. We must realize that we are the responsible ones for being discouraged and depressed and disappointed. We are, my friends, and I say that in love. Just take heed to his own word to you. My spirit remaineth among you. And if you're here this morning, you're unsaved. I could say to you that the Lord is saying, my spirit remaineth among you this morning. He's not in you, but he's among you. And he's pricking at your heart, wanting you to be saved. My friend, that's the most awful thing in the world, to go to hell and then later to be cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't need to do that. God wants to save you. He loves you. And if we're saved, we need to let people see the rejoicing there is in being saved. We need to be able to let them see that they're missing something. Our lives need to be salty so that they will thirst for what we have. When they see us, they'll get thirsty instead of trying to run away from us. The Lord will tread down the enemies within and lead us to victory. If we will just realize that we are to be followers of Him. Paul said, and how he desired this, and he said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow me as I follow Christ. And oh, that we could take that example and say that in our lives, follow me as I follow Christ. Christian, just trust in His Word. Listen to what He's telling you. My spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Back to Philippians chapter 4 in closing. Verses 8 and 9. Oh, listen to these. put them in your heart when you're discouraged, when you're despondent, when you are disappointed. Listen, go to this and read this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. How could you be discouraged thinking on those things? If we think of it, now listen, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. So my friends this morning, I trust that we can not be discouraged, that we can be on the mountaintop with the Lord, and we can be there all the time. Now I'm not talking about in a physical way, but he says, be ye filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, there is no room for anything else. My cup runneth over. That's the reason the psalmist said that in Psalm 23. There wasn't any room for anybody else but the shepherd. His cup runneth over. Is our cup running over? Are you discouraged? Are you despondent? Are you disappointed? Trust in the Lord. Commit thy way unto Him. Trust in the Lord and He will bring it to pass. As we sing our hymn in closing this morning, you will have to sing it. I'm about wore out. Number 406.
Let us stand, please, for this.
Forever, only here.